We're doing brachos. We're starting with brachos, daf mem tes amud beis. Now, our Gemara is discussing Birkat HaMazon, and our Gemara is discussing Zimun. So whenever we approach a Gemara, the Yesod that Rav Salvechuk taught his Talmidim, which is really the Yesod of the Brisker Rav, which is the Yesod of the Gra, which is also in the Mishnah Berurah, is that we always work from, it's also Chazal. We start from the most basic text, and we work our way forward.
What do you mean by the most basic text?
So, start with Torah. Let's open up the Torah and read. But before we read Torah, we need an introduction.
Is Torah considered the most basic text?
Yeah.
Okay.
The truth is no.
Okay.
Gemara assumes that before Torah comes logic. The Gemara says, Lama likros svarahu. Why do I need a pasuk? I have logic. From there we derive that if something's logical, I don't need a pasuk. The Gemara says, why can't you kill someone to save your own life? I don't need a pasuk for that. My chaz is the damach samich tvei. It's logic. Why is your life worth more than his? That should be obvious to everyone. I don't need a pasuk for that. Yehari val yachin. Don't kill him to save your own life. Logic precedes Torah. In the sense of how we approach it. Lama likra, the Gemara will ask. Why do I need a pasuk? Svarahu. It's logic. So my step one is, if it's logical. Now, this led to a big discussion at the turn of the century when people started asking, if you're stuck on a mountaintop, your plane crashed, and you have a non-Jew who died and an animal that's dead, do you eat the non-Jew or the animal? So some people said, what do you mean? And the non-Jew is a machlokas, whether it's an issur d'oraisa or not, machlokas Rambam Tosfos. The animal is for sure asur. So eat the non-Jew first. And other people said, logic precedes you. Logic should tell you, you can't eat a human being. It's not a... So this concept that we're saying is not as simple as it sounds. The idea that logic precedes Torah. Even though we're going to get there. I'll show it to you in Sfarim. We'll get there. Okay, so before we read Torah, we need an introduction. And here I wanted to divide the homework between you and Mr. Goodman. There was a famous work written almost 1,000 years ago. It was really a letter. Its author was an early Rishon, and he impacted many Rishonim and their learning. His name was Rav Yitzchak Kanpanktun. And he wrote a letter, which became this book, the first of the Derkei V'Klalei Gemara, the way and the rules of learning Gemara. Rav Yitzchak Kanpanktun. So what I wanted to give you as homework for next week is to learn the first section. Okay? Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Because over here in Hey, he tells us the rule of how we should learn. And he says like this. He says a few rules, but he says, V'aderech hayashar, the straight way to learn is, Shushetayen kol ma shetuchal la'avin ma gemara. First, analyze everything you can understand from the Gemara. And afterwards, you come to read the Mefarish. He's talking about how you learn Mefarish in here.
Oh, there it is.
Mr. Goodman, we're here. Are you joining us? Okay.
So let's just hold off the discussion until he gets here.
Why? Your time is precious. I'm not going to be able to go over time.
No.
You were here on time, and he wasn't. I respect that. Let's move on. I'm not blaming him, but why should you lose? We won't finish what we have to finish today, Gamkaha.
Okay, fine. All right.
So, Rav Yitzchak Kanpanktun says, when you read from the Gemara, analyze everything you can in the Gemara, and then, and after that, read the Mefarish. Ur'ei gam re'ei, and look and see. Is what you understand, does that agree with what he explains or not?
I have no idea what he's saying right now.
He's saying you read the Gemara without Rashi and see if you understand it. And then after you've read the Gemara, read Rashi.
Mm.
And then see if you understood it the way Rashi did. Or not. Okay? Mm. Then you come and read what the Mefarish wrote.
Who's Alav?
Elav is the Mefarish.
And he's saying any
Mefarish you read. He says, first read it and see how you understand it. And then, read the Pirush and see if you understand the way he understands. And then, so he says, the first step to learning is learn without a pirush. Then you read the pirush. And then you say, okay, why did Rashi explain the Gemara this way? I thought the Gemara was saying that. So if you're at a novice level, at a very basic level, and you're you don't yet know what you're doing, so okay, so Rashi taught you pshat in the Gemara. But as you advance, you want to reach a point where you read the Gemara, you understand the Gemara, and then you read Rashi, and then you say, why did Rashi say this? I understood the Gemara was saying that. Why did Rashi say this way? And then you start understanding Rashi's chidushim. Meaning that Rashi doesn't interpret the Gemara the way pshat is. We'll take an example from our Mishnah. Okay? The Mishnah that our Gemara is based on. Let's go back. It's the beginning of the Perek. The Mishnah says, Ad kama mizamnim. That's the line that our Gemara is focused on. What do the words Ad kama mizamnim mean before you read Rashi?
Sorry for my tardiness.
What do the words Ad kama mizamnim mean? If we were reading the Mishnah without Rashi, we're going over a letter. I recorded it so you could listen to the recording later. This is a work that was written almost 1,000 years ago, and many Rishonim learned how to learn from this work. This was a letter by a man, a Rishon called Rav Yitzchak Kampantun, and he taught us that whenever we learn a Mefaresh on the Gemara, we first read the Gemara without the Mefaresh, we understand the Gemara, and then we read, let's say, Rashi, and say, wait, he didn't say what I thought the Gemara said. So if you're a novice, at least you're not yet holding there, but if you have a pshat in the Gemara, then when you look at Rashi, you say, why didn't he explain the Gemara the way I understood it? Then you start paying attention to the Chidushim in Rashi. And I'm showing an example of that in the Mishnah that our Gemara is based on. The Mishnah asked the question. First of all, we have to ask, why does it do Mishnayos ask questions? They're here to tell us halachos. The Mishnah asks a question that should arouse in us, hey, wait a second, what just happened here? Ad kama mizamnim. The Mishnah asks the question. What do those words mean, ad kama mizamnim? You guys already learned this. This is what our Gemara is on. So what do those words in the Mishnah mean? Ad kama mizamnim? I'm asking you.
Oh, how much do you need to eat before you could make
Azima. That's what we would have thought. Okay, so we have our pshat. Now let's read Rashi on the Mishnah. You guys want to go into what Rashi on the Mishnah is doing? Do you need a cup of tea or something?
No, I probably need a Mishnah.
So here, you want me to get a Gemara from the shul?
No, you already came prepared. What is this?
A different time. Now we're in the Mishnah. You want an intro to what Rashi on the Mishnah is doing? Do we want an intro to Rashi?
Is this what Rashi does on every Mishnah?
Correct. So let's begin. Rashi's job in most of Shas is to give a pirush. Rav Moshe Feinstein said that when we learn Gemara, we're learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. Everything else you learn is in order to understand Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. All of Halacha comes from Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. But there's a few differences between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi works based on a very strong tradition. Very little that Rashi says is his own chiddush. Rashi is giving an interpretation based on tradition. He's summarizing his tradition. He's a huge Talmud Chacham. But Rashi's major, major contribution is the way Rashi words it, the genius and how Rashi formulates it. The content is really what his Rebbeim taught him. So it's tradition. And Rashi is working to explain the Gemara, other than in Maseches Chulin, where Rashi is a posek. There Rashi gives halachic ruling. In Chulin, Rashi's style differs from the rest of Shas. Now, what is Rashi doing on the Mishnah? What do I need Rashi for on the Mishnah? I will read it in the Gemara. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger explains, both in his commentary and in his Tshuvos, that Rashi on the Mishnah is coming to give us the Pashut Pshat that the Gemara is based on. When we learn Gemara, the Gemara is layers. That means there is the Pashut Pshat in the Mishnah, then there's the Gemara's working out a new Pshat in the Mishnah. Why are there two levels? Because the Mishnah didn't necessarily mean what the Gemara says the Mishnah means. When we learn a Gemara, the Gemara is giving you an interpretation in the Mishnah. The Gemara is not necessarily claiming that that interpretation was in fact what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi meant. Rather, the Gemara is telling you this is the way we want the Mishnah to work out. This concept we will expand on as we move forward. But what Rashi is doing in the Mishnah, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger and others, is he is giving us the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah. He's giving us the, what does this Mishnah mean if I knew no Gemara? Or, how does the Gemara understand the Mishnah meant, even though the Gemara might disagree and quantify the Mishnah differently? But what was the baseline, the starting point of the Gemara? In other words, what is the Hava Amina? So Rashi in the Mishnah is giving us the Hava Amina. So then you should ask me, then why does Rashi on the Mishnah sometimes tell you the Gemara will say X? Right? Did you encounter that in the Mishnah? So you have to notice the wording Rashi uses. Is Rashi saying Bigamara Mifarej, the Gemara will explain, Bigamara Muki, the Gemara will tell you it's talking in such a circumstance? As we explore, as we learn, we will notice that Rashi is telling us different things when Rashi gives us insights as to what the Gemara will say in the Mishnah. Sometimes what Rashi is telling us is the Gemara did not add a layer, rather the Gemara revealed to us the Pshat in the Mishnah. We might have thought every time the Gemara is revealing Pshat in the Mishnah, but the Tshuva Sabach Simen Ayin, which we will talk about as we continue learning, explains not that way. In fact, there are layers. There is the Pshat that Rebbe intended, and then there is the Pshat that the Omeroim took and formed, and then most Rishonim Paskin with. So that was intro number one to Rashi on the Mishnah. Now we actually went to Rashi on the Mishnah to see an example of what Rav Kampantun wrote in his letter. That we read the Mishnah, and we said, hey, what do the words at Kama Mezamnin mean? What did you say it meant? How much do you have to eat in order to do Zimun, right? That's what Moshe said. You agreed with him, Mr. Goodman, right? Okay, let's read Rashi. What did Rashi say? At kama mezamnin, kama yochalim ahem, v'yitchayev imahem bezimun. How much should he eat with them and be chayev with them on Zimun? Rashi didn't say what Moshe said. Where did Rashi differ from you?
So I said, how much should you eat to be chayev and Zimun?
You meant all three of us are sitting here and eating a sandwich. How much should we all eat to be chayav zimun? What did Rashi say it means?
As a particular person.
Rashi says, number one, we're talking about kama yochal. How much should he eat? Imahem with them. There's a group. They ate their meal. They're chayav and zimun. At kama mezamnin, Rashi learns, is a question of how much does he have to eat to join them? Yes? So, point number one, Rashi learned it's the individual and the group. What else did Rashi change from what you said? Rashi said, v'yitchayev. How much will he eat and be chayev? We understood at kama to mean, how much do I have to eat to be able to do a zimun? Rashi said, how much will he eat to be chayev to do a zimun with them? I would like to point out another point. The Gra, in his commentary on the first Mishnah, in Brachos, points out, the Mishnah says, Me'emasai korin is Shema de'arvin. From when do we read Shema? In the, what does arvin mean? The nights. Why does it use the multiple term arvin, nights? So the Gra has a whole piece on that, why it uses the multiple term. But when we read a Mishnah, we have to note, number one, the Mishnah asked the question. Number two, the Mishnah used the Lashon Rabim. Ad kama mezamnin. They will do Zimun. How much will they? Okay. So here, when we read the Rashi, if we used Rav Kampantun's method, so we noticed that Rashi said something very different from what you said. Right? Rashi said 2 points differently. One, he said, how much does the individual eat to join them? Number two, he said, and he will be chayav with them. V'nafkamina, whenever you see that in Rashi, you know you have a big problem. Lehotzi'am yedei chovatan im yitnulo hakos levarech. So why? What was bothering Rashi here? Rashi gave us lamdas. That's not the way we're used to reading Rashi. Rashi usually says two words, and you got to figure out the lamdas. Here Rashi says nafkamina. That's not the way Rashi usually writes. So if we were learning the Mishnah, we'd have to sit here and figure out what Rashi is telling us. Why did Rashi need a nafkamina? Why did Rashi switch it from a situation of how much does he to become chayav with them to a situation where he is motzi them? And which chovatan, what chov is he talking about? And then his final example, im yitnu lo akos, if they give him the cup. What are we talking about? Im yitnu lo levarech, im yitnu lo lezamen. Rashi added something here. If they give him the cup to bless, what about the cup? Why did the cup get into here? If they'd ask him to lead benching, that's what Rashi should have said. So Rashi's telling us a lot on this. Rashi, but you guys already learned the Rashi. We're ahead of that. Okay, so point number one, we said, when we read a text, we read the text, understand it, we read it again, understand it, and then we check ourselves with the Rishon. So when we read Rashi after we've read and reached a superficial understanding, and then we check, and then we'll notice where Rashi said different than we thought we were supposed to read in the text. Are you prepared for homework, Mr. Goodman?
Yes.
Good. So could you give us an outline for next week, who Rav Yitzchak Kampantun was historically? You can borrow the book. I was going to lend Moshe the book so that Moshe can... I'll send you a WhatsApp picture of the name. I wanted Moshe to prepare the first two paragraphs. Grab your son, learn it with him, and prepare the first two paragraphs of what Rav Kampantun taught us there. Peseda? It's the first one here.
Okay. Can you send me a...
I'm lending you the safer. You'll bring it back.
Oh, okay, fine.
Okay? You'll have the safer to learn from it. You'll have the picture to check. So I said that the baseline, when Rav Soloveitchik would give a shiur, so Rav Soloveitchik, and this is the Rishker approach, would begin by the most basic text. The most basic text is what? The most basic text is Torah. So we begin by reading Torah. But when we begin Torah, we use Rav Kampantun's method. We read Torah and we try to understand what did the Torah tell us. So if our focus in our learning now is going to be making an after blessing, so let's see what the Torah said about an after blessing. When we come to learn a Masechet, we have to have certain introductions. Number one, we have to see all the psukim that are relevant to that Masechet. Number two, we have to see all the Mishnayos that are relevant to that Masechet. Meaning, when I come to learn brachos, I spend my first 3 weeks learning the psukim, the medrashei halacha. Over here, I didn't bring the medrashei halacha because there's almost nothing written in the sifri on these psukim. And after you see the medrashei halacha,
now how do you know which psukim that you're going to be looking at? Well, that's from general knowledge, but because we sort of know that we're discussing.
If you don't know, then you could open Rambam. Rambam is always, when you don't know what you're doing, Rambam is very organized. Rambam tells you the psukim, Rambam's in very, very misudar. Whenever you approach a topic and you don't know what you're doing in that topic, the place to look is Rambam. We are opening to Parshas Ekev, what the Christians call Dvarim, the 8th chapter. And we will begin.
Yeah, I think they call it Dvarim, the 8th chapter.
Right. Okay, so we begin. Are we ready? You guys got the place?
End of Rishon.
So whenever you learn Gemara, you should have a Tanakh next to you. Preferably a Tanakh with Perushim, because we don't know what we're doing when we read Tanakh. But really, like we said from Rav Kampantun, we should begin by reading without it. Now, the Medrash Halacha over here, we have two types of Midrashim. We have Medrash Agada, Midrashim that tell us stories. Then we have Medrash Halacha, Midrashim which the Gemara says, I went and I saw Rav, he was teaching his students like Moshe Rabbeinu talking at Sinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu would talk at Sinai, every word he'd say, he'd teach them a pasuk, and then he'd go back and say, when I said this word, I meant to teach you this halacha, that halacha. When I said that word, I meant to teach you this halacha, that halacha, that halacha. Word by word, he'd break it down for them. We have two forms of Tanaic systems. We have the Mishnah, which is case-oriented. We have the Braisos, or the Medrashei Halacha, which are text-oriented. The Mishnayos give you a case, and based on the case, you're supposed to know many halachot. the Medrash Halacha, Sifrei, Mechilta, they work on the text. They give you the psukim, and they go word by word in the psukim and tell you what halacha do we know from that word. You guys familiar with what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? No.
No.
Okay. So for next week...
Well, I shouldn't say no.
So what for next week, bring Torah with the Malbim. The Malbim wrote his commentary on the Medrash Halacha. So we'll see a sampling next week. Maybe bring a Dvarim with the Medrash Halacha. But bring with you, I was going to bring, but because it's not Nogat Ar Sugya, I left it home. So the Medrash Halacha, we'll at least get we'll take a look, is you have the Mechilta on Shmos, you have Safra de Bei Rav, the one book of Medrash Halacha from Rav's Academy on Vayikra, also known as Toras Kohanim. And then you have Sifrei de Bei Rav, the two books of the Academy of Rav, and that's the Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Dvarim, two books. So Safra is one book, Vayikra. Sifrei is two books, Bamidbar and Dvarim. Okay, we have Safra and Sifrei. Sifrei is written on two books. It's a Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Dvarim. Safra is written on one book on Vayikra. Safra de Bei Rav is also called Torat Kohanim. The beginning, the opening chapter of Safra de Bei Rav is Rabbi Yishmael Omer B'Shlosh Esrei Midot HaTorah Nidreshet Mehem. What we say every morning in Tefillah comes from Safra de Bei Rav. Now, we're beginning in Devarim, what they call the 8th chapter. Kol HaMitzvah. We're going to read this with an open mind. All the commandments or connections, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom, that I'm commanding you today, Tishmirun La'asot. You will watch, you will take care to perform. Leman tichyu, so that you will live, urvitem, and be fruitful, or successful, or great. That depends on what root you use the word rav. Uvasem virishtem esa aretz. And you will come, and, I don't know what the word virishtem means, but we'll translate it probably semi-accurately. You will inherit the land, Asher nishba Hashem la'avotechem, that Hashem swore to your forefathers. V'zacharta, okay. So number one was what? The commandments, be careful to do. Liman, I don't know what the word liman means. So that you will live and succeed and come and inherit the land. So again, pasuk number one told us to be careful with all the mitzvos, so that you will live and succeed and inherit the land. Pasuk number two, v'zacharta es kol haderech. So if one spoke to me about action, performing the mitzvahs or watching over the mitzvahs, pasuk two tells me, remember the journey. Asher olicha Hashem lokecha ze 40 shana bamidbar. That Hashem took you 40 years now in the desert. Leman anoscha. What did the word leman mean? So that, in order to, because... Leman anosecha. What does the word anosecha mean? In order to afflict you? The journey in the desert was to afflict us. Lenasotecha. What does that word mean? To test you? I don't know. Ladat. What does that word mean? To know? Hashem needed to do this in order to know. Et asher bilvavcha, that which is in your heart. Hatishmor mitzvosavim lo. Will you keep his mitzvos or not? So remember the journey that was in order to afflict you and test you, to know what's in your heart, whether you'll keep his mitzvahs or not. So pasuk one was, take care with the mitzvahs. Pasuk two was, remember the journey that was there. So what am I supposed to remember about that? I'm supposed to remember the first part of the pasuk or the second part? We'll continue. Vayanecha vayarivecha. We go back, we said, Leman anoscha, in order to afflict you. Now, it seems we break down. What was that affliction? Hashem afflicted you and kept you hungry. Vayachilcha saman. He gave you to eat the man. Wait, were we hungry or were we well fed with the man? Which one? So the Gemara says both. When you have man, but you don't know what you're going to eat tomorrow, that's called being hungry. Having food in the hand, but no food in the bush, you have nothing to rely on. You don't know what you're going to eat tomorrow. So even when you eat, you're not so satiated. Asher lo yadata, you weren't familiar with this man. Ve lo yadun avotecha, And your forefathers also weren't familiar with this type of food. L'mano de'achat to let you know, ki lo al alechem levado yichya adam. Man doesn't live on bread alone. Ki al kol motzafi Hashem yichya adam. Man can live on whatever Hashem decrees he should live on. Okay, so point number two was, remember the journey. And remember how Hashem afflicted you and the lesson of the man. Simlat techa lo valtam alecha. I guess part of remembering the journey is that your clothing didn't wear off. And your feet didn't swell. Zar beim shana, 40 years. V'yadatayim levavecha. And you should know with your heart. So that also needs definition. What does it mean to know? What does it mean to know with the heart? Why did the pasuk have to tell me to know with the heart? Ki kasher yaser ish et b'no Hashem lokecha miyasereka. He said, so that just as a person, so this is sometimes translated, what does the word yaser mean? Yes, sir. Could mean to what?
Chastise.
Okay. What did you say?
I thought cast off, but...
Okay.
To remove, but...
Okay. No. Yeah. You're also right. Rabbeinu Yonah says like you. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the reason... What did you say? To chastise. The reason chastising is called yisur, to cast off. Because when you're chastising, you're casting off his yetzer hara. You're helping him remove that his misconceptions or his desires to go after the materialistic. What does the Targum translate the word yeyaser? Most people would say yeyaser means to afflict.
Well, if it's wrong.
What does the Targum say is the Pasakei, v'yadatam levavecha v'teidayim libach. Ki kasher yeyaserish et mino, arei, because, k'modi me'alef gavrayat bereh. What does me'alef mean?
To teach.
Pasakei in the Targum. Me'alef. So Targum translates the word yeyaser to teach. Right? So it's the... If we combine what both of you said, the way Rabbeinu Yonah explains in Mishle, so then we understand how Yeyaser means to teach. We're moving forward? Are we ready? This is all intro. We're not yet up to the second we need. V'shamar tos mitzvos Hashem Elokecha. It would seem that Pasuk Aleph through here was one line. One concept, watch over the mitzvos so that you succeed and come and inherit the land. Remember the journey, because the journey taught you how Hashem decides what you will live off of, how you didn't tire, your clothing didn't wear down, your feet didn't swell. You should know that even though Hashem makes you suffer, it's like a parent, it's part of the education process. So that seems to be Pasuk Aleph through Hey. Now, Pasuk Vav seems to be a new thing. V'shamartos mitzvos Hashem Elokecha. You will watch. When? When? When's this future tense? It seems when you come to the land of Israel. What you said in Pasuk Aleph. You will watch the mitzvos of Hashem. Right? In Pasuk Aleph it said, Tishmerun la'asot. So now he comes full circle and says, V'shamarto. And you will watch at mitzvot Hashem Elokecha, the commandments of Hashem your God, la'lechet bidrachav u'liyira'oto. Okay.
How do we get though that when it comes to when we're coming into the land of Israel though?
Because in Pasuk Aleph he put the stress of what I'm commanding you today, you will watch to do so that you will come and inherit the land of Israel. Yirishtem et haaretz. So if I have to identify in Pasuk Vav, what future tense is he talking about when he says Vishamarta and you will watch? He means you will watch your whole life? Maybe. He's talking about something in the future when he says, and you will watch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see Pasuk Zayin, and I think you'll agree with me.
Right.
Okay? But here we have a concept. Lalechet bidrachav, to go in God's ways. That's a very important concept. David Lifshitz told me a very nice mashal last night. He said, a guy is in dire straits. He needs to buy medicine for his kid, and he doesn't have the $200 it takes to buy the medicine for his kids. So he has no choice. It's pikuach nefesh. He breaks into his neighbor's house. neighbor isn't home. He comes into his neighbor's house and he opens up the safe and he sees in the safe $5,000. Now, is there a difference between if he stole $200 or $5,000? Technically, halachically, stealing is stealing. When he walks off with $200 or $5,000, he did gneva. Okay? Do we say every cent is another gneva? But wait, there's a concept here. If he steals the $200, then he's... you can understand that on some level he'll be judged more leniently in Shamayim. But in the Torah, does it say that concept? So the Torah tells us, Lalechet Bidrachav, go in Hashem's ways. This is an overall concept. It's like you have to get it. It's not just the technical commandment. Lalechet Bidrachav, go in Hashem's ways. L'yir'ah oto, and fear Hashem. And I think that addition is there because that's where we're really tested. Meaning, do I think I can play games? Because I can give a lot of answers and a lot of excuses. We all know that from our children, right? They do something and you catch them on it. And then they have a lot of excuses. And you know, come on, you know and I know. That's not really what happened here. Ki, I don't know what that word means.
What is the, why does it say liyiroto?
So I'm suggesting that when you have something as amorphous as go in his ways, so then you need the liyiro oto, because otherwise you can always get away with it. Eliphaz comes to kill Yaakov Avinu and he says, it's kibud av ha'em, I gotta do it.
Oh, you could always rationalize.
I'm the Shem Shemayim. So there has to be the liyiro. So when you give something, go in God's ways. I'm going in God's ways. God is zealous. God is, I can always say what I'm doing is l'shem shamayim. It's for the right reasons. Ki Hashem Elokecha meviyachah l'eretz tova. How do you understand that key? You realize this is what we've been building up to. Initially, we spoke about kol hamitzvah. Be careful with the mitzvahs because you're inheriting the land. Remember the journey to the land of Israel because those 40 years were important. They taught you the concept that you don't only live on bread. But Hashem decides what you live on. They taught you that you didn't tire out your whole journey. And you'll recognize that everything you suffered to get there was the way a parent teaches his children. Now we come to the pasuk that's at the central. The whole masechet is based on this pasuk. Ki Hashem Elokecha meviyacha l'eretz tova. Because Hashem, your God, is bringing you to a good land. Chazal say this whole parsha was written in Yetzias Mitzrayim. The parasha we're reading now about coming to the land of Israel, it says in the Sifrei de Beirav, this whole parasha was actually said to Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim. It was the first parasha Moshe taught them. Moshe first taught them about the land of Israel and the idea of making a blessing after you eat. I don't know if it was in Mitzrayim or when they got out to the desert and they first got the man, but the Medrash throws it all the way back to the beginning of the 40 years. Ki Hashem Elokecha meviyacha l'eretz tova. Hashem, your God, is bringing you to a good land. Eretz nachalei mayim, a land flowing with water. Ayanot u'tomot yotzeim ba'bika u'vahar. You have streams that are flowing. You have depths of water through the valleys and the mountains. What is that key? Ki Hashem Elokecha meviyacha l'eretz tova. Eretz nachalei mayim. Eretz chita u'sora v'gefenu teina v'rimon eretz eit shemen u'dvash. It's a land of wheat and barley and grapes and figs and rimon and olives and oil and honey. Eretz asher lo v'miskenu tochal ba'alechem lo techsar kol ba'ah. A land which you won't eat your bread there b'miskenut, in dire poverty. Lo techsar kol ba'ah. You won't be lacking anything in that land. Eretz asher avaneha verzelu me'arereh techtzov nechoshet. A land whose stones are metal. You could quarry metal from its stones and copper from its mountains. Ve'achalta v'savata, and you will eat and be satiated in that land. Uve'achtet Hashem elokecha la'aretz atova shenatan lach, and you will bless Hashem your God over this good land that He gave you. So it seems that everything we read is leading up to this pasuk. Be careful with the mitzvos so you inherit the land. Remember the journey And recognize what? That you eat what Hashem chooses to give you. You could live on man also. And then recognize that your suffering was Hashem teaching you. Be careful to go in Hashem's ways and the mitzvos. Ki Hashem Elokecha Meviyacha L'Eretz Tova. What is that key? Rav Tessin Zatzal quoted from the Briska Rav. When we learn Mishnah, Gemara, Torah, Rambam, we are looking for switch points. Switch points is when you read a text, sometimes there's one word which can be understood in more than one way. And the way you understand it very often changes the whole pshat and everything you're learning. That's called the switch point. So as we learn, we have to try and zone in which words here did I really not understand and what do they affect. Let's learn another few psukim, because the fact that Shani is here makes us think that the stress of the whole parasha is this: you will bless after you've eaten. You will eat and be satiated and bless. Hishamer lecha. Then the Torah says, be careful, pentishkach Hashem lokecha, lest you forget Hashem. I would have thought the stress of the whole parasha is here. It's all leading up to here. Be careful with the mitzvos, remember the journey. You're going to have a good land. This is all leading. The punchline is the punchline, the story of the land of Israel. Or is the punchline, Hisham elecha pentishkach Hashem elokecha. Be careful lest you forget Hashem your God. Levirti shemol mitzotav mishpotav chuktav shanochim mitzavacha hayom. Ben tochal vesavata, lest you be so satiated that, pasuk yudalit, I'm skipping, everything will go good. V'ram levavecha v'shachachta, and you'll forget Hashem hamolichacha mamidbar, who took you throughout that desert. Remember, pasuk tezayin hamachil chaman. So now you have the inverse of what you read before. Beforehand you were told, remember. Remember how Hashem took you. Remember how Hashem gave you the food. Remember how Hashem taught you all those 40 years and brought you to this beautiful land. And then we come back and say, hey, be careful lest you forget how Hashem did all of this to you. Because things will be so good in the land of Israel, and you'll forget Hashem, you'll have all the good, you'll become arrogant, you'll forget how Hashem took you through the land, you'll forget how He took you through the desert and gave you man, and you'll say, Kochi v'otzim yadi asali t'chai lazeh, it's my strength that accomplished all this. Remember Hashem, ki o noten l'chaimah, because He's the one that gives you the strength to lasot chal, to succeed. And that's what will fulfill His covenant with you. And you know what will happen if you forget Hashem? So then, avot tovidun, you'll be lost from the land of Israel. Okay? So that's our parsha. Now, I ask you, within all of this, once we see, here's what you should remember, here's what you shouldn't forget, and in the middle, we're told the beauty of the land of Israel. Where does benching come into all of this? You will eat and be satiated, and bless Hashem over this good land that He's given you. So where does that come into the remember? Don't forget. Remember the journey, the man, and how Hashem taught you. Don't forget, because you might end up getting kicked out of the land of Israel if you become arrogant and forget everything Hashem did for you. And smack in the middle comes the commandment bench. When you're in the land of Israel, you'll have all this wonderful seven species. Well, eat and make an after blessing. Eat, be satiated, and bless Hashem. And that is at the root of our whole Masechet, this pasuk. Eat, be satiated, bless Hashem. What do you say?
Well, I mean, clearly there's a connection by man, right? You were eating. And we say, Lo al alechem levado, yichya adam.
Very nice.
So, there's got to be some sort of connection, and I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, there's the eating process and this sustaining process. So we have to, I mean, why do we have to say a Birchat HaMazon? Logically, I don't know. It's that's a command.
How does that fit into this whole story? Once the next piece of homework. There's going to be more. No volunteers? Okay, so Mr. Goodman.
Yeah,
you want to work on the first blessing of benching?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you two questions. When I showed up to Tells, I asked the Rosh Yeshivas of Tells the following question. How can a person after the Holocaust say benching? He said, you say in benching, Tamid lo chasar lanu. Hashem always did not make it lacking for us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, my grandmother was very hungry in the Holocaust. Hazan es hakol, Hashem gives food to all.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of hungry people today. A lot of people lacking. What are we trying to say in benching? Coming off of this, and understanding that Chazal say that that first blessing is formatted primarily by Moshe Rabbeinu, give or take. So then that blessing is going to correspond to these psukim. You want to work on the correlation of that first blessing in these psukim? And especially the words Ki Le'olam Chasdo, which are in the first blessing of benching. What is the theme? Hey, we say it every day, numerous times a day. And here, I want to point out what I think the Torah is telling us with benching. I think what the Torah is telling us here is, remember Hashem, don't forget Him. Remember everything He's done for you and that He gives you food. You know how you're going to remember Him? By benching. The key that the Torah is giving us here, remember, there's no organized prayer. You daven, yeah, every day you speak to the Ramon Shalma, Hina, Hera, Hera, Hin. But the Torah is telling you that at the key to holding on to the land of Israel is benching. Because when you look at the bread and you don't take it for granted, the food you have, like you pointed out, like the man, when you get man, you realize it's the Ramon Shalma feeding you. But when you're in the land of Israel and you're getting the food from the ground, it's so easy to think, Kochi vosam yatiya, salit achalazem. So benching is that key point which connects the first parsha and the second parsha. The first parsha says, I want you to remember the mitzvahs. I want you to remember Mitzrayim. I want you to remember the journey in the desert. I want you to remember that I feed you. Now coming off of that bench, and don't forget, and don't get kicked out of the land of Israel, and don't become arrogant. But what's the middle? Where's the switch point before it goes from what you should do to what you shouldn't do? You have two parshas which are symmetrical. You have one which says, remember A. You have one which says, don't forget A. And then in the middle, you have a commandment. After you eat, say an after blessing. So that is telling us, to my mind, it's telling us the blessing is at the key to these two sides of the symmetry. The two sides at the key, at the middle, is the blessing. And there we have to explore our first point of exploration is the first blessing, where b'emet, we really have to explore the second blessing, not less than the first, because the second blessing is the blessing on the land of Israel. However, you'll notice that the key in the Torah is not about the land of Israel. What am I blessing? The land. I ate, I enjoyed, and I bless over the land. But Moshe Rabbeinu gave us only the first blessing of Birkat HaMazon. So this is intro. Now we've begun.
But what's the point of benching? To make a bracha on the land, on the good land that Hashem gave us?
No.
I agree that that's how we would read the text right now. Right now it reads like the main point of benching should be no delicha. And then we would ask, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu institute the first blessing of benching? I agree that right now it seems to read that way. But let's see, what did you read in the Gemara? Now that we saw the psukim, we could turn to our Gemara. And so we begin. At kama mizamnim. So we said we really have to analyze why the Gemara asks questions. Mr. Goodman, you with us?
Yeah.
You seem perturbed. What's bothering you?
No.
Okay. We're on Mentesimon base. The other page. Yeah. You're the one who taught us, okay. So, let's remind ourselves what it said in the Mishnah. Okay, you had two pieces of homework. One was to give us an outline who Rav Kampantun was. Number two is to figure out an outline of what the first blessing is and how it corresponds to the parasha, to that in the Torah. Moshe This is an amazing set. We have it in shul. I recommend that you guys, as we learn, start developing your personal libraries. If I showed you a Sefer by Rav Kampantun, it's not expensive. Why don't you buy it and learn it and own it and develop your Torah and your family's Torah? You could buy this for like 20 shekel, this book. This is a set called Seder Hadorot.
You took a picture of this on
Yes, okay. It's in the WhatsApp. The Seder Hadorot was written by Rav Halperin. Rav Halperin was a contemporary of the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh, they lived a short time, about a century after the Shulchan Aruch. And at that point, the Chachamim of that generation realized that they weren't on the level of their predecessors. What differentiates between Rishonim and Achronim? What silent rule is there that Achronim can't argue on Rishonim? There is none. The Chachamim understood themselves from the Shulchan Aruch onward that they were not on the level of their predecessors, and they basically accepted that they can't argue on them. So that then you enter the Achronim era. There was no bat kol that came out and said, you're all Achronim. The Shagas Aryeh argues on Rishonim. The Shagas Aryeh argues on the Shulchan Aruch, right? Berchas HaTorah, Doraisa, Rabbanan. Shulchan Aruch, Rabbanan, Shagas Aryeh, Doraisa. You have numerous places where the Shagas Aryeh argues on the Shulchan Aruch. He was a huge Talmud Chacham. And
what year are we talking about?
We're talking about 1500s. So, Rav Halperin, over here, he wrote this book outlining two things. One is Jewish history. Rav Yechiel Halperin, he was the Av Beis Din of Minsk. And he wrote this book that begins with creation and goes until after the Gemara, Geonim, Shonim. And he outlines, he has two sections here. Section number one is an outline. You could listen to it online. I teach it at Machon Meir. We've been doing this for years. And yes, please. Tadama. He goes in the order of history, and he summarizes Midrashim. If you want to see a summary, how did people live so long in the days before the Mabul, all the different shitos of Rishonim, here you could see a summary of that. And it's a very interesting storybook. Then section number two is the names of Tanaim and Amoraim, who they were. He summarizes from all over Shas who each Tana and Amora was. Now when we read in the Mishnah, Ad Kamla Mizamnim, Ad Kezayis, Rav Yehuda Omer Ad Kebeitza. So we have a Stam Mishnah that tells us till a Kezayis, and then Rav Yehuda argues on the Stam Mishnah and says Ad Kebeitza. First thing we have to notice, who's the Halacha going to be like? Like the Stam and Mishnah. Okay, we're out of time, so I'm going to say a few quick things. I brought this to share with you how my father taught me to learn, and afterwards, when I learned by Rav Pesin's Zatzal, I saw that he learned the same way. These are note cards, and basically, as you learn concepts, we will constantly be expanding on concepts. Today we learned many, many concepts. So you take a note card like this, and the first two letters, Beis Tet. So, Batal Berov, Bitulim, Bitul Berov. Every time I learned a new thing on this concept, I wrote it down. Let's take, what are we going to learn now about Kezias? So let's see if I have something on Zayas. Or Kezias. Now, I recommend you figure out some kind of system to summarize what you learned. Because today, we learned a lot of concepts. And if you would write down for yourself the concepts that we learned today, I'm just, if we take a minute to review, you'll see we covered today here. I have over here on Kezias.
What about like Birkat HaMazon?
From Psachim, Shulchan Aruch, Chayei Adam, Rambam, Aruch HaShulchan, Mishnah and Kelim, Gemara and Brachos, Mishnah and Kelim says, Lokatam Logado Lelobeinoni, what's a Kezayas? The Gemara brings our Gemara, Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, whether a Kezayis is important or a Kebeitza is important. And it seems that Rabbi Yochanan is learning this as a Machlokes in all of Shas. So, which is considered an important measurement. So, as you learn concepts and you outline them, then you start building your knowledge base. The Encyclopedia Talmudic is built off of this. Rav Zevin made this catalog for himself on everything he learned. On Shas and Rishonim and Halacha and based on that, they're writing the Encyclopedia Talmudit. What's Encyclopedia Talmudit? It's Rav Zevin's personal catalog file on all of the Torah he learned. So, I brought this just to show you. I have it divided according to the alphabet, and then I have it divided based on Tanakh. I have a section here in the order of Tanakh, and I have a section also, Klalim. Concepts in all of Shas, meaning if it's a klal in all of Mishnah, if it's a klal in all of Gemara. So this also helps, and you have to say Dvar Torah on the parasha. And every parasha you've heard things, and you write them down, and then you start organizing your Torah. Your Torah becomes accessible to you. So that's an idea I recommend you start doing. If you think for a minute about the concepts we learned today, we began with Rav Kampantun. We looked at Rashi. We looked at the Chiyuv Zimun. Then we spoke about Rabbi Kiva Eiger and what Rashi does in the what Rashi's job is to do in the Mishnah. And we quoted a Tshuva Sabach that the Gemara is not necessarily redefining the Mishnah as that's what Rabbi meant, but rather the Gemara is giving their Mahalach in the Mishnah. Then we went through the Psukim and we raised a bunch of questions. We came back here, and now we learned in the Mishnah Stam and Rabbi Yehuda, and I want us to end off with a concept. Tosfos and Sota tells us that when we have a Stam Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah has two halachic weights. Number one is that it's a Stam Mishnah, that's its own weight. And number two, when the Mishnah states something plainly, so then it's as though the whole court of Rebbe voted on it. So it's a koach rabin. So stam mishnah is bigger than chachamim omrim. If I have a stam against chachamim, the stam wins. Because stam mishnah is a mishnah plainly stated, has two strengths, rabin and stam. So if we read our mishnah before reading the gemara, how would we paskin? Now we know that a mishnah is stronger than a braisa. Ad kama mizamnin, whatever that question is, ad kezayis is the stam mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad kebeitza. You have to eat a kebeitza. Who's the halacha going to be like?
Kesayis.
The Stam Mishnah. So when I learned the Mishnah, I already have a halachic weight before I open the Gemara. Now what I'd like you to do for next week is give us an outline of who Rabbi Yehuda is. Rabbi Yehuda is a very important figure. And he's the one, try to work with this set, with the Seder Adoros. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Stam, Rabbi Yehuda in Shas Mishnayos is Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi. His father was the Rabbi Rabbi Eloi.
Rabbi Yehuda.
Every time you read in the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi. He was a contemporary of Rabbi Shimon. Stam Rabbi Shimon in the Shas Mishnayos is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. They were both disciples of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi is considered the head of his generation, even though he had contemporaries who were giants, like Rabbi Meir, like Rabbi Shimon. So he was the Rosh HaMedabrim.
Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Alakha, Rabbi Yossi.
Right.
So if he was the giant, why do we help him, Rabbi Yossi?
Right, very good. Great question.
I
can't answer you quickly. We're out of time, and it's a long answer. So I will just take a peek at our Gemara. No, I can't take a peek. I'm out of time. I have to be on the bus in 4 minutes. So this was all intro. Mizrach Hashem, next week we'll begin the Gemara. You have to give us a historic, an outline of the first two paragraphs here of Rav Kampantun, and you'll give us the history of who Rav Kampantun is, and then you'll also give us an outline of who Rabbi Yehuda was. Who Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli. I think you should use this work. No, get to learn this work. He was a contemporary of the Shagas Arya, and
so
he was voted.
Take a picture of that and send it also on.
Seder Adorot, this is in our library here.
All right.
This is in the shul. I brought this from the shul.
Oh, you brought them in there?
Yeah.
You manage some business.
This is an amazing set. But then what I'm going to do of the inner page, so you have, if you're going to get this one, then try to get the one that has, you have your phone here?
Yeah.
Maybe you'll take the picture. I got it run.
Okay.
There's one that has other books that they bind it in, Igeret of Shiragon and other books with them. So I would recommend trying to get that one.
Oh, not...
Not this edition. We couldn't find it, but maybe man was too good.
Yashikach.
Say there, Yashikach to you guys. Monday we're meeting again.
I'm giving this to you, or...
No, you're fine. Bring it back next week. We didn't get to do... everything I hope we will do today. I have